Then you're out on tour in 59.
Right.
This was in winter time.
Mm-hmm. End of January, first of February.
You'd been out how many days here before Clear Lake, Iowa?
12 days. Clear Lake was our 12th night.
You were riding buses with probably no heat?
Yeah, we had them old ragged buses out of Chicago, broken down bus line, trailways buses. The heaters would work just a little bit. Sometimes you can put your hand under one of them vents and feel just a little bit of heat. But when it's 30 below zero, friend, it takes a pretty good heater to heat up a big old bus, you know. So we're freezing, literally freezing to death on those things. They'd send out another one and another one. And those 12 days, we'd had five buses. One night, one of them was a school bus. We went from one city to another. And that was one night that it was warm. The heater worked good on it, but it was a school bus, 300 miles in it. Can't lean back in the seats.
So you're up there in Minnesota and
Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And it just turned out that that was also one of the worst winters, temperature-wise.
Yeah. The average right around 25 below every day and night was there.
You had to do it. I mean, you were under contract, I guess.
Well, yeah, buddy had a contract. Min Whalen and Carl was backing up the other acts. We got to Chicago. We found out we were the backup band. We didn't know about that. So, wasn't no getting out of it.
Along in here someplace, Buddy says he's going to charter a plane.
Right. The night before, he tried to get one out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it was so cold that they weren't flying out of Green Bay, period. So he said, well, we'll get over to Clear Lake tomorrow. Maybe we can get one. We got to Clear Lake. Clear Lake and Mason City is right there together. It's Mason City Airport, but he chartered it.
If there would have been decent transportation and buses with heat on them, Buddy might not have had the idea of chartering a plane.
Well, you
is
know,
that possible?
It sounded good. Let's get on up there. We won't freeze to death. But he had some business with his attorney he was working on. We were getting there just in time to play these jobs. You know, we'd play them and get up and go to the next one. And we lived in those buses. I think he would have went ahead and chartered one, even if the buses had been better, you know, because he had some personal business going on with Norm Petty, and he needed to talk to his lawyer in New York City, and he hadn't spoke with him. Then that day, he found out some facts that he didn't believe, and so he really wanted to get on up there so he could confer with his lawyer, who I later met. Harold Ornstein was his name. I met him years later. He's a big music attorney in New York. Very nice gentleman.
Was Buddy always treated right by lawyers and money men and people tried to take advantage of him?
You know, that was the first lawyer he ever had, really. Norman was taking care of the money, and he felt like he might wasn't getting all of his royalties. But I don't know. That was the first time he was actually using a lawyer, was right then.
So the winter dance party, you've been out 12 days, you're coming into Clear Lake. Let's name them. The winter dance party included whom?
Big Bopper, Richie Valens, Deonna Belmonts, Frankie Sardo.
J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, he was a disc jockey, wasn't he?
Yeah, in Beaumont, Texas.
How did he become known as the Big Bopper?
Hello, baby. People call into his radio show. Woman would call in. She could say, hello, baby. And then he'd go into his little spiel. One day he thought, well, I need to make a record out of this. So he did.
And that became known as?
Chantilly Lace.
Reached number six in the charts.
It was a worldwide hit, you know. I never looked at charts.
The name Bop, didn't that come from the bebop dance?
There was bebop music. Then they had a dance that was a bop. The Big Bopper. He's more like a cool guy. You know, he wore those leopard coats like the old bebop musicians used to wear. You know, the big baggy pants tied around the ankles. That's the way he dressed. He dressed like a bebopper. They call them beboppers is what they call them. So back in the early 50s, there was a lot of beboppers still running around from the 40s. And there's a lot of them here. Paul McGee was a bebopper guy. You know, he kind of came out of that school.
So, in Clear Lake, Iowa, it was the Surf Ballroom that you were playing in.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the charter service.
Jerry Dwyer, who's become a good friend of mine over the years, he says the pilot was very knowledgeable, a good pilot. The kid they don't know. They don't know if he got vertigo some way or other. They don't know yet. Jerry's writing a book, and he'll tell his side of it, you know, but a lot of people have blamed the pilot for plane crashes, you know, so